Hello, I'm Hugh Dennis, and with us are Lucy Porter, Ahir Shah, Beardy Man, Gemma Arrowsmith, and Luke Kempner, who is once again going to try and say this.
The Now Show!
Just rubbish. Well, we all know that the Brexit countdown clock is ticking, but this week it didn't just tick, it finally went... And Theresa May finally had to reveal her best answer, which in the opinion of a large chunk of her party turned out to be a four-letter word. But there's only 4 months left to go, leaving the government digging a hole for itself so huge, the only consolation is that it can be reused for Crossrail too. Everything's in meltdown, and it's hard to work out quite what's going on. With the British press possibly being overdramatic, maybe it would help to look abroad for a more reasoned overall perspective. So we could try Der Spiegel.
Brits staring into the Brexit abyss.
Or the Irish Times.
Idiots and incompetents are in charge in the UK.
Yeah, on second thoughts, that probably doesn't help. So, it seems pretty clear that whatever it is we're doing, the rest of the world doesn't understand it. Possibly because not many of us seem to understand it ourselves. The Brexit Secretary, Dominic Raab, was the first of many resignations, saying he couldn't support the deal he himself had negotiated. Although maybe that's not that surprising, given only last week he told an audience that he now realised...
We are particularly reliant on the Dover-Calais crossing.
And explained that...
I hadn't quite understood the full extent of this.
Somehow, though, Raab and May got the job done. The deal was announced on Tuesday, 585 pages long, and printed on one side of the paper only, as if to emphasise that once we've left the EU, we can decide for ourselves whether to give a crap about the environment. On Wednesday, there was a meeting with the full cabinet in attendance. Transport Secretary Chris Grayling was there, which became obvious when the meeting failed to finish on time and was delayed by 2 hours. According to the Times, one minister told the cabinet that he couldn't guarantee that people wouldn't die as a result of no deal, a tactic known as Project Fear plus plus plus. Eventually, the cabinet backed the plan, but virtually nobody else did. By Friday, letters to trigger a no-confidence vote had been sent to the 1922 committee, named, of course, after the centenary of Jacob Rees-Mogg's birth. While Rees-Mogg himself complained that Britain would be...
a slave state.
Which is odd, as he spent the last year calling it...
a vassal state.
But such was the unrest that outside the Westminster bubble, the pound plummeted and worst-case planning continued. Even the FA have announced Brexit plans, with the Premier League forced to use fewer foreign stars and make up half their squads from homegrown players. That's going to make Saturday afternoons very different.
And here's how Arsenal line up. Petr Cech in goal, Lauren Koscielny at the back, Dave the plumber and Steve from the pub in midfield. And up front we've got Lacazette, alongside the bloke from inside the Gunnosaurus mascot. Half of this team are entirely new to the game, but they're still expected to comfortably beat Fulham.
It's not just the Premier League, though, but also major manufacturer Premier Foods, who've started stockpiling the ingredients of many of their brands, including Ambrosia, Bisto, Mr. Kipling, and Angel Delight. The ingredients of Angel Delight are worth stockpiling because it's very important that the sodium diphosphates are nice and fresh. Premier Foods have claimed that their actions are...
precautionary.
Which sounds suspiciously like...
designed to make you panic buy gravy.
They may also find they have to change their product lines after Brexit anyway.
Mr. Kipling does make exceedingly good chlorinated chicken.
What I most like about this story, though, is that it's such a British way of stockpiling. In America, they call this sort of thing prepping. And preppers tend to say things like...
in this here bunker, I got automatic weapons, a hunting rifle, water purification tablets, and stores for 2 years.
Whereas over here, it's...
well, we've got plenty of custard, some OXO cubes, and my husband's cricket bat tucked away in the cupboard under the stairs, so I'm sure we'll be fine.
If anything is going to drive home the threat of no deal to Middle England, it's a shortage of Ambrosia creamed rice. As if all this wasn't enough pressure, the government also have to release the legal advice they got over the Irish backstop. after Labour this week put down a successful Opposition Day motion in the Commons. Opposition Day being a parliamentary tradition whereby for one day a year, Labour actually provides some opposition. Meanwhile, former Labour leader Gordon Brown has backed a second referendum on Europe, saying,
"Millions of young people feel that their future is being mortgaged by an older generation."
Which went down well with young people once they'd Googled what a mortgage was. It's not a concept many of them have had a chance to discover yet. No one seems happy with the withdrawal agreement, though. Some people feel it's created a loophole by allowing Northern Ireland to be in the European and British trading areas at once, meaning that theoretically British companies can pretend they're based in Northern Ireland and then get free market access.
So you are a Northern Irish company?
Oh, yes, always have been.
And yet your headquarters are in England? What evidence do you have?
You see, we have redesigned our flagship product from spherical to human-shaped.
What is this product?
Terry's Chocolate Orange Men.
But hang on. Hang on, let's not get too disheartened. The withdrawal agreement has been agreed with the EU. Now, all we need to worry about is whether it gets through Parliament, who'll be Brexit Secretary, what happens to the DUP, whether there's a referendum or general election, whether there are any more resignations, whether anyone resigning asks for a 2-year transition period before their departure becomes effective, and whether Theresa May can survive a leadership challenge when she looks so fragile she might not survive a mildly over-enthusiastic hug. Honestly. We may all need medication. So take my advice, hedge your bets, move to Dover, because it looks like that's where all the medicine will be. Thank you very much. Now, taking a break from touring his critically acclaimed show, Duffer, around the UK, would you please welcome to the stage, Ahir Shah!
Hello, I'm Ahir Shah. I'm not going to be talking about Brexit, even though it is fascinating for those of us who, like me, have always wondered what it would look like to watch an entire country walk directly into a lamppost and then try and style it out. Instead, I wanted to talk about the weather, because I'm not white and it's the only way to convince some people that I'm actually British. This past week has seen wildfires leave a destructive trail around California amid a global increase in extreme weather events, and it's hard to see how this isn't being exacerbated by climate change. In a way, our destruction of the Earth isn't that surprising. You need only look at the average human being's reaction to the rain to notice the sheer contempt we hold for everything that nourishes us. You look outside the window and see the chemical miracle that has sustained all life there is, was, and ever will be, and you just think, no. I wanted to wear suede today. Seriously. On the internet, for 70 quid, you can buy a patio heater. That's when you've got a house, and you're like, ah, could go in. No, the world is too cold. Look, I'm going to have to live through this, and I'm never going to be rich enough to insulate myself from the devastation. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West have hired a team of private firefighters to protect their house in California. Don't get me wrong, I'm funny, but I'm not private firefighters funny. It's going to be even worse for the next generation, you know? I really want to have children, but isn't that fundamentally selfish? When I say that I want a family of my own, all I'm really saying is that I want people to cuddle during the end time. But these problems are only going to be solved by collective action. But the issue is that the scale of the problem is so vast, it's pretty natural as a normal person to start feeling like, maybe all I can really do is look after my bit. Do you know what I mean? Is that all a normal person can do? You look after your bit, hope everyone looks after their bit, and maybe collectively we can make a better bit. It's why people get more right-wing when they get older. It is entirely normal. It is such a short step from, maybe I can only look after my bit, to, this is my bit! Get off my bit! Anyway, what with the end of the world, I'd been feeling quite hopeless. So a couple of weeks ago, I went back on medication for that. That's my news. Basically, for most of my life, I've been like emosh, right? But in my early 20s, I was diagnosed as being clinically totes emosh. Have you heard of that? So my GP has taken to giving me some very charming pills in an effort to silence the howling. Right, my GP once came to watch me do stand-up, and at one stage, apparently his wife leant over to him and said, "Is this part of it, or is he having a breakdown?" To which my doctor apparently responded, "I'm not legally allowed to say." I tried coming off medication at the end of last year, and I tried that for just under a year, and I'm back on them now. And things have changed. My pharmacist takes Amex now, so I got air miles on antidepressants. Which is the single most millennial thing I have ever done. Who knew that a side effect of mental illness would be business class? I have no idea. I want to brag about that, but I need to brag about it here, right? I can't brag about it on the plane, right? I am a bearded brown man. Imagine that person next to me on the plane being like, "So, why are you taking this flight? I'm suicidal." Guys, 40,000 feet is a long way up to get see it, say it, sorted. No. Instead, I shall keep quiet, lie back, relax, and look out at the window over the planet I'm complicit in destroying. Thank you very much. My name's Ahir Shah.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Ahir Shah. So now, would you please welcome back to the Now Show beatboxing champion and musical architect, it's Beardy Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, Minister of Pronunciation, Jacob Rees-Mogg. Hello. Jacob Rees-Mogg here. Don't laugh, I'm taking names. In a bid to increase my relatability in the run-up to my inevitable installation as supreme ruler of the colonies, I have accepted the challenge of writing a satirical song for broadcast on the national wireless system. But parliamentary life is already very demanding on one's tiffin regimen, so consequently it has not been possible to produce a backing track for this segment, and no backing track is better than a bad backing track. Do you see what I did there? As you can see, I've brought a looping machine to record my voice as I beatbox through an effects unit. You didn't know Jacob Rees-Mogg could beatbox, did you? Well, I bloody can. Check it out. It would be remiss of me, of course, if I wasn't to mention that our subject today is the pant-wetting quiver-lily Dominic Raab, who will be serving Saturday detention for the next 3 weeks. Don't laugh or you'll be next. I can't know for sure exactly what was going through his wet little mind yesterday as he handed in his resignation, but I'm 100% certain that it was definitely this. I don't recall nothing ever being this bad. Well, the world's gone crazy cause everybody's nuts. We're called in the super flat. And no hope, no meaning, death, truth. Everybody got something to say. Propaganda in your feet, is there something that you need? Is your sanity slipping away? Honey, tell me. Oh, me. Ooh, yeah. Well, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Oh, but honey, please don't ask me. Ooh, I don't recall, I don't recall. call, I don't recall asking for the yes. So we gotta get out, there's a door in the wall, but it feels like we're aiming to miss. Well, the world's on fire, there's money to burn, call some gas on the flames. Save the pound of dollars, leave the planet full of wonder, and I hope you like the Hunger Games. Well, tell me now, oh, we're just a tiny island in the sea. Just don't ask me. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Don't you feel you're being slightly glib here? This is a very serious situation. We have a golden opportunity to seize back control. Shall I demonstrate? Strong and stable. We stand united in our division. We are bound now by our fate. We are brave in our indecision. Thank you, Britain. You've been great. Maybe it's all been a huge mistake. Thank you, let me go.
Beardy Man, for those who have just tuned in, don't worry, you are listening to Radio 4. Now, you've seen her on QI and live at the Apollo, and now you can hear her in your lug holes back on The Now Show, which you'll be hosting next week. It's Lucy Porter!
This week, the calorific mega drinks Freak Shakes have become the latest targets of campaign group Action on Sugar. If you don't know what a Freak Shake is, imagine Barbie, Willy Wonka and the Care Bears all vomited into a glass, then stuck a straw in it, and you'd be pretty close. According to Action on Sugar, Toby Carvery's Unicorn Freak Shake contains 1,280 calories and 39 teaspoons of sugar. It's six times a 10-year-old's recommended daily sugar intake, and a young adult would need to jog for 3 hours to burn it off, while a middle-aged adult would need to energetically throw a slipper at the telly at least 48,000 times. In its defence, Toby Carvery has claimed that the milkshake isn't aimed at children, but it's full of sugar and decorated as a unicorn. It's a bit naive to think that kiddies won't see it and want it. It's like when they get Tom Hardy to read the CBeebies bedtime story. Ostensibly, it's for the preschoolers, but the mums know.
Hello. I'm Tom Hardy, and I've got a feeling you're not here, for there's a bear on my chair. Do you even have kids, Barbara? Or have you just sent your husband down the shed again?
We know what you're doing, CBeebies, and we like it. I can see why people would push back against calls to ban sugary treats. There are so many awful aspects to being an adult. Taxes, grey hairs, you and yours. But are we addicted to sugar? And if we are we taking this addiction seriously enough? If I hid little miniatures of vodka around the house and snuck one or two when nobody was looking, we could all agree that that was bad. But that's exactly what I've been doing with a stash of fun-sized Mars bars ever since Halloween. And apparently that's fine. They're not even mine. I've stolen them off my kids, who were given them by strangers when they knocked on their doors wearing masks and threatened them. Halloween's kind of weird, isn't it? Ideally, we'd all be able to exercise personal and parental responsibility to keep ourselves and our children healthy, but that's clearly not working. The alternative to the nanny state is asking businesses to exercise more corporate responsibility, but capitalism isn't going to stop selling us things just because they're bad for us. That's why we still have cigarettes, Jaeger bombs, petrol cars and Jeremy Kyle. If nothing that was really bad for us was ever banned by the state, I shudder to think what companies would be selling us.
Indulge yourself this Christmas with our ethically sourced organic rocks of crack cocaine. Drizzled with salted caramel and ready to melt on our limited edition sterling silver spoon. These aren't just grade A drugs. These are M&S grade A drugs.
We clearly do need to cut back on sugar, especially me. But the thought of banning anything gets people's hackles up. So to get us all on board, Action on Sugar should convince us we're just replacing one treat with a different treat that's just as nice but a bit better for us. So to help them out, and with the festive season approaching, I've come up with some ideas. You two can overhaul Christmas with...
Lucy's Healthy Festive Tidbits.
See, even saying it makes you feel healthier. Let's get started with my first tip.
Keep the sensation of drinking Baileys, but cut down the calories.
By knocking back neat whiskey while smothering yourself in vanilla-scented body butter.
Replace chocolate gold coins with real gold coins.
Which you can then bury under your garden along with your weapons cache and tin goods for when we go full on into no deal meltdown come March.
The fun of a Yule log comes from having a chocolate cake shaped like a piece of wood.
So why not switch up the whimsy with a lump of wood you've painted to look like a chocolate cake?
Recreate the ambience of a cheese board this Christmas.
By having low-fat spread on crackers, but eating them in the same room as a pile of socks belonging to someone with a fungal infection. I am sorry about that. Of course, it's not Christmas yet, and in the meantime, we're going to need something to get us through the unbridled chaos. So, bartender, mine's a unicorn freak shake with a double treacle chaser. Cheers.
Chris Roger. So as retailers crossed their fingers for Christmas, there was more bad news from the high street this week as Debenhams shares fell by a fifth and House of Fraser announced four more closures. Department stores are in particular trouble and their loss will mean the end of a valuable social resource. Without them, where on earth will we go to the loo when we're out? It's sad because there's so much social history bound up in the high street. Many people's first employment was a Saturday job in a shop or a summer holiday job shelf stacking. Not really knowing what they were doing, bluffing and hoping nobody noticed. Theresa May gets that feeling all the time. It makes you wonder what today's young people will be nostalgic about from current high streets.
I can remember it now like it were yesterday. They had all the flavours, watermelon, bubblegum, cherry, and it were just one or two at first, but then the other retailers started closing, and soon it were vape shops as far as the eye could see. It were a grand sight. Even now when I'm downwind of a big cloud of purple voodoo by Vaporos Liquid, it takes me right back to 2018.
It were like a foot spa, but big, and you'd dangle your legs and little fish would nibble on your dead skin. Your feet would come out right nice. That's no life for a goldfish.
Well, there were rows and rows of coffee shops, Costa Nero, Starbucks, Joe and the Juice, for mile upon mile. Sometimes there was a small branch of the coffee shop inside the coffee shop. You know, just in case you needed a coffee while you were queuing for your coffee.
On the more positive side, hairdressers, vape shops and tattoo parlours do seem to be safer now. And in fact, tattoo parlours would be doing even better if it wasn't just the names of partners that people had inked on their skin.
I need these names removing, please.
Are these girls' names? Susie, Rosie, Katie?
No, they're fine. It's these names that are embarrassing.
Which?
Tyrak, Blockbuster, Barrett's and iHeartVHS.
There was some help in the budget, but long term the situation looks bleak. Yorkshire MP Clive Betts has suggested that his local towns need to turn shops into coffee bars, cinemas and theatres. I'm not sure how many shops you can realistically turn into a theatre, though. Is that what teenagers really want when they're hanging around on a Saturday afternoon?
All right, where should we go?
I reckon we should go to the Chekhov.
No, I fancy a bit of restoration comedy. I'm up for some early Stoppard.
Boring. Let's just go to Mackie D's like usual.
Mackie D's?
It's an experimental musical that won an award in Edinburgh.
Oh, cool.
The idea of making shops into community hubs isn't as straightforward as it sounds. Coffee shops complain that they're frequently used as an extension of or even replacement for people's offices, and it's not uncommon to see people occupy a table all day using the Wi-Fi and the power sockets and just buying one small coffee. I've witnessed people coming into coffee shops with printers, folders, conducting interviews, meetings, even staff appraisals.
Sit down, Ian. Excuse me, madam, do you mind just moving your coat so my colleague can sit down?
No, that's fine.
So, Ian, how do you feel you have been getting on in your probationary period?
Excuse me, could you pass the sugar, please?
Of course. The results so far suggest that...
Sorry, I couldn't help overhearing. Is this a 360-degree appraisal? Only it's usually on Tuesdays.
Oh, well, we invite feedback from all levels, yes.
Oh, good. Ian, I, for one, think you're shit.
It's the way the world's going, though. Lots of people seem to think nothing of conducting their business loudly in a crowded branch of Cafe Nero. The way government spending cuts are going, that might soon include the Home Office, which will at least be interesting.
Welcome to the weekly meeting of the Joint Intelligence Committee.
I've managed to get a table in the corner, ma'am.
Near a socket?
Yes, ma'am.
Excellent. My encrypted satellite phone is only on 8%. Where's number three?
He's arguing about his stale muffin.
OK, so everyone got their drinks? Everyone get their cards stamped? Good. Then we can move on to item one on the agenda.
Item one, ma'am. The recent leaks of information from the department. How on earth is that happening?
The demise of the high street has led to a fight back, of course. There's the shop local movement, and farmers' markets have successfully shown that by cutting out the middlemen, wholesalers and supermarket buyers and saving on transport costs and overheads, food can be made much more expensive. But as big retailers unveil their expensive Christmas ads, this year there's only one message they really want to be sending. So, which leaves us with only the audience question, which Lucy is going to help me with. So, Dominic Raab famously didn't realise that Dover-Calais was important to British trade. But if we're honest, we've all made mistakes like that and become aware of glaring gaps in our knowledge. So we decided to ask the audience, what have you embarrassingly failed to realise?
My knickers from the day before were in a ball down the leg of my tights. When buying Jimmy Choo's in Harrods.
What have you embarrassingly failed to realise? I packed my son off to his primary school with a block of cheese instead of his packed lunchbox.
Vegetable emojis have double meanings and don't form part of a shopping list.
How a car works, I oiled my actual brake pads. That's it. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye. You've been listening to The Now Show, starring Hugh Dennis, Lucy Porter, Ahir Shah, Beardy Man, Gemma Arrowsmith and Luke Kempner. It was written by Steve Punt, Hugh Dennis and the cast, with additional material from Robin Morgan, Katie Story, Sophie Duker, Laura Major and Mike Shepherd. The producer was Matt Strong. It was a BBC Studios production.